WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Book critic Maureen Carrigan has made a list and checked it twice, so she's confident she can recommend her picks for the best books of the year for your own holiday shopping list.
I've spent 1996 the same way I've happily spent much of my adult life, reading, reviewing, and teaching hundreds of good books. Yet one book published this year soars above the literary swarm. That's Frank McCourt's memoir, Angela's Ashes. As McCourt acknowledges, his childhood contained the standard stuff of every Irish hard luck story, from Joyce's Portrait of the Artist to Betty Smith's A Tree Grows in Brooklyn. The shiftless, loquacious, alcoholic father, the pious, defeated mother, pompous priests, and bullying schoolmasters. Indeed, a writer would need the pluck of a Jimmy Cagney and the dramatic gifts of a Sean O'Casey to make such rusty material shine again. Luckily, McCourt has both. Angela's Ashes deserves to be enshrined in the library of Irish great books, a couple of shelves below the Book of Kells. Speaking of great books, David Denby's tome of the same name makes its own claim on that superlative. In Great Books, Denby describes the exhilarating and exhausting year he spent as a returning student at Columbia University. Denby graduated nearly 30 years ago, but he wanted to retake two core curriculum courses and thus stake out his own position on the relevancy of the Western canon. By doing what few of the canon's champions or detractors have done, that is, reading a respectable chunk of it, Denby casts a wondering eye on the soul-enriching complexity and, yes, radicalness of Aristotle, Shakespeare, and other enduring writers. Some of the great books Denby discusses, like Homer's Odyssey, were originally oral works recited by generations of poet performers before they were written down. In a wonderful collection entitled Committed to Memory, editor John Hollander and a committee of fellow poets have chosen what they consider to be the 100 best poems in English to learn by heart. Among the old favorites here are Emily Dickinson's Because I Could Not Stop for Death and Ernest Lawrence Thayer's Casey at the Bat. The collection also spotlights lesser-known poems, including Robert Hayden's moving reflection on a strained father-son relationship called Those Winter Sundays. The first stanza reads, "Sundays, too, my father got up early and put his clothes on in the blue-black cold, then with cracked hands that ached from labor in the weekday weather, made banked fires blaze. No one ever thanked him." Michael Berube's remarkable book, Life as We Know It, focuses on his own experience of being a father to his son Jamie, who was born with Down syndrome. Berube, who's previously made a name for himself as an all-too-rare readable literary theorist, interweaves his account of Jamie's first 3 years with in-depth discussions of the ethics of prenatal and IQ testing. Individual humans like James, says Berube, are compelling us daily to determine what kind of individuality we will value, on what terms, and why. The great achievement of Life as We Know It is Berube's tone, informed, impassioned, and yet resolutely unsentimental. Family struggles of a different sort constitute the subject of Christopher Tillman's extraordinary debut novel, Mason's Retreat. Set in the late 1930s on a remote estate on Maryland's eastern shore, it's an eerie tale of one family's mad effort to reverse their failing fortunes. Tom DeHaven's exuberant novel, Derby Dugan's Depression Funnies, conjures up quite a different vision of the 1930s. It takes place in New York amidst the razzmatazz world of comic strip artists, bootleggers, and good time girls, and tells an unexpectedly poignant story about friendship and professional loyalty. Part of the fun of reading Derby Dugan is stumbling across the names of real-life 30s personalities like Peter Arno and Wallace Simpson. In Laurie R. King's just-published mystery, A Letter from Mary, we revisit a literary character who's made such an indelible impression on readers that many believe he actually existed. I'm speaking, of course, of Sherlock Holmes. A Letter from Mary is King's third mystery featuring the aging Holmes and his young wife, Oxford theologian Mary Russell, and it's a doozy. King somehow manages to preserve the integrity of Holmes's character, and yet imagine a woman astute, edgy, and compelling enough to be his partner. Somewhere up in literary Valhalla, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is no doubt apoplectic over the liberties King has taken with his famous detective. But if you ask me, the love of a good, emancipated woman is just what Holmes needed.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University.